Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. From good to bored to great. A lot of people quit when they're tired. An entrepreneur should only quit when they're done. Oren Claff, founder of Intersection Capital and author of Pitch Anything. Now, the ability to not quit when you are tired, bored, upset, defeated, broke, stumped, or exhausted to the point of not being able to get out of bed will be the defining characteristic for whether or not you build a business that changes your life and the lives of others. You can only quit when you are done. That is an excerpt from my brand new Amazon bestseller, Hack the Entrepreneur, How to Stop Procrastinating, Build a Business, and Do Work That Matters. To get the rest of Oren's chapter and 49 others by brilliant, brilliant entrepreneurs, go to htebook.com right now or go straight to Amazon and look up Hack the Entrepreneur.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is only 24 years old. He is a CEO, a founder, and an award-winning entrepreneur. He's the youngest person ever to receive venture capital funding. At the age of 18, he had already graduated from the University of British Columbia and launched his first company. Today, he is co-founder and CEO of Keep, a mobile app platform that allows brands to offer real-life rewards for in-game achievements. To date, Keep has raised over $15 million in funding and is completely redefining mobile advertising. My visionary guest has received a ton of awards, including Forbes 30 Under 30, and he's also one of Canada's top 20 under 20. Now, let's hack Brian Wong. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by Colin Gray, the podcast host. The podcast host is a company that grew out of one guy's passion for podcasting, and they are now a team that will help anyone start their own show. They offer three membership levels, depending on your aims and ambitions. The first one, if you don't mind learning how to do it yourself, the self-starter membership includes all full access to the Podcast University. It's a set of courses on how to start and grow your own podcast and goes along with monthly live events. Next up, if you're taking this seriously and need to get going quick, they have the Fast Tracker package. This includes one-on-one support with the team, live monthly mastermind groups showing you the quick route to success. And lastly, for business podcasters, take them on as your podcasting partner and they'll take nearly all the work off your hands. Simply record your part and send it through. They'll edit, master, and add your music before publishing it to the world. See the memberships they offer at thepodcasthost.com/hack, and you'll get half off your first month with the promo code HACK. That's thepodcasthost.com/hack, and you'll save 50% on your first month. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have another very, very special guest. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely my pleasure. Let's jump straight into it, Brian. As an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I think it comes down to just getting kicking the shins and coming back up and just perseverance and being able to just take no for an answer. So I think it's a combination of this blind perseverance with sort of understanding how to handle rejection and just keep moving forward and having that resolve. It's sort of cliche, but it is really one of the main ingredients, I feel, especially because you're going to be forging so much new ground and people are going to be in your way or saying no, because it's very easy to. But if you really do believe in what you're trying to accomplish, there will be a path to success.
Nice. I love it. I was wondering if you said that, like being able to take no for an answer. Because the cliche is you're never supposed to take no for an answer.
Well, me understanding how to handle it, right? So it kind of goes both ways. It's either not being able to handle rejection or handling it. And what I mean is more handling it. So yes, don't take it necessarily. Figure a way around it, right? but know kind of where you can tweak things, navigate other paths inward, finding other people to say yes, things like that.
Yeah, no, it's a great clarification. And is this something that like is sort of innate within you or something that was taught to you as a child or something you've learned since becoming an entrepreneur?
I think when you have this type of personality where it's all about go, 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 get what you want, sort of initially, at least as an entrepreneur, you do definitely have a control complex. It's just over time you learn how to let go. You know, these are things that I think were both innate and trained. And, you know, kind of a combination of everything in my childhood from, you know, my, you know, fact that I came from Vancouver and, you know, had a desire to get out and go somewhere where I knew that it would be conducive to my strengths and be in a place where I would be able to thrive, to everything from, not that I don't want to go back or contribute back to the Canadian entrepreneurship community, but you kind of get what I mean. And then a combination of kind of being able to focus on being a part of something great. And I think when you're always kind of building and creating, these things come naturally. That's the other thing I always try to tell entrepreneurs to do is you need to get in the habit. It's actually more of a practice than it is sort of a thought process. If it's more about doing something. And so you just, by just getting out there and starting to build, as small as it might be, it could be something tiny. It could be a splash page to a login screen to a mock-up. It doesn't matter. Just start with something. So you get into the habit of just creating. And once you do that, everything else begins to just follow.
Yeah, it's so true. The momentum just kind of breeds more momentum.
All about momentum.
Yeah, yeah. That's. I mean, looking at your bio, Brian, you've had momentum for a long time. You have such a list of like 20 under 20 and 25 under 25 and the 30 and the 30. It's like, geez, man, you've been going for it. So it's impressive.
Yeah, those things, they beget each other. And I always tell people, especially with press, because people are always very curious about that when they meet me. You know, what? How do we get attention? Da, 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 da. Usually it takes only one or two. And if you are able to use that, you know, wisely, you can begin to cause a chain reaction that goes on for a very long time. And I think it all comes down, again, continuing to create value, because if you're not creating something new, there's nothing new for people to pay attention to. There's nothing new for them to write about. So you need to spend time continuing to create value. This is very logical, but also communicating it is a skill too. So that's the thing, you know, the other thing about, and I think we might dive into the differences between Canadian and American entrepreneurs, but one of the things about Canadian entrepreneurs that I realize, and I'm generalizing, of course, is that we're not necessarily as loud as we should be sometimes. And I think sometimes it's helpful to be that way, to be able to communicate to the masses exactly what you're doing. And exactly why what you're doing is so important for people to pay attention to in the first place.
Yeah, I think that's like us as a society, right? We're very like humble and quiet and we don't want to kind of...
Yeah, yeah, we're good. We got all the resources we need. Just, you know, just let us be. I get it, 100% get it. But I think just in general, this is one thing I picked up. And just the smallest of achievements is something that I've noticed that a lot of my fellow entrepreneurs down here will just celebrate. And these are things that I've attempted to instill in our culture. And it's done well for us. And obviously, as businesses grow, there's different stages. And now we're much later stage, you know, sort of a set of different promises and a set of different objectives. But in the early days, you know, I always like to tell entrepreneurs, why do you think someone cares about your startup? Like, you can't walk into a conversation assuming that anyone even cares. And they shouldn't, because there's so many. So you need to really give them a very, very compelling reason. And if they get that compelling reason, nail it into their head. And that's how you build your company step by step.
Yeah, but there's obviously a fine line, right? Between, I mean, you can't promote a terrible product. No matter how much you promote it, it's not going to be any good.
Of course, all of that is usually like the assumed sort of underlying requirement. If you know your product is terrible, there's not much I can do.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's, I love the clarification. Okay, Brian. We're going to go back a bit if we can, because there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make this huge difference in the world, or they find they've simply become unemployable. Can you tell me which side of the fence you fall on and when you sort of discovered this about yourself?
Yeah, I think it was a bit of the middle. I was very quickly aware of the fact that I wasn't employable, even though I did get a job coming out of school. I worked at Dig, as you might have seen in my bio there. I was only there very briefly because Dig, unfortunately, had a bit of a snag. And in fact, I think that I got laid off because of their resource constraints. It has nothing to do with how belligerent or how unemployable I was in general. But that was a nice, I guess, sign from the universe that now I was free and I could go do something. And the company I started didn't necessarily come from a higher calling, but there certainly was a very big motivation that was such an obvious one that it compelled me to do it. So, you know, the simple fact that not a single normal human being that I know would ever tap on a banner ad on a smartphone is the universal truism that had motivated us to create what we were doing in the first place. Like, how could something be so ubiquitous? It's everywhere, but yet so rejected, it doesn't make any sense. And so as an entrepreneur, you think about these things and go, well, that is something that definitely needs to change. Let me see if I can, you know, influence that. And that's how the company ended up getting its start.
Wow. I love it. And it's true. It is like such a ubiquitous type thing that everybody does have the phone.
Yeah, so obvious. And that's what I always like to tell entrepreneurs to look for. Look for that very obvious, universal problem that if you tell anyone, they understand. It's not like you go to someone and be like, yes, I'm going to fix traffic. No one's going to say, yes, I love spending time in traffic, right? So there's certain things that are universal. And they're very easy to explain. Now, you might not always have that, but it's not the requirement per se, but it's certainly very helpful.
Yeah. Is there ever a time, though, that if it doesn't already exist as a product, that maybe it's been tried and wasn't effective? Or
chances are everything's been tried, right? This is the other thing I also try to share. Someone's going to have tried a version of it or have been convinced in their own twisted way that what they created is the solution to your problem. But that's why you have to look for those too and really help validate for yourself. Because sometimes it's very easy to be like, oh, it's been done, right? What does that mean it's been done, right? Does it mean that it's actually solved it? Does it mean that person or that this concept that's already out there is in some twisted way attempting to solve it, but actually isn't, right? So there are other problems as a result. So it's never really that simple. And so I always encourage people to look at it a little bit deeper. And the other thing is most of the time you will find the space littered with very quick solutions. But this is the other thing that takes a truly special type of entrepreneur to understand is that some of these things take a lot of time. And in fact, the harder path is usually the one that's most recommended because it's usually the one that the least amount of people take. And it's probably the one that will last the longest if you invest the right amount of time, energy, money, whatever it is, to get that thing off the ground.
Yeah, higher barrier to entries definitely help.
Exactly. Now, don't create a higher barrier to entry for yourself just because.
Right.
That's just stupid. But if there's something that you know the solution will take time and might be deceptively simple, you know, these are things that will give you that competitive advantage. But that's not the reason why you're doing it. At the end of the day, you're doing it because you truly believe in the solution you're trying to create and that everyone that sees it, touches it, feels it, should want it and should want to play a part in it. And your job is to rally everyone into it. It sounds a lot like a religion. Kind of is, right? And that's really what happens when you're trying to create something very new.
Yeah, it kind of is. You're right. That's well, it's a good analogy for it. Okay, so blind perseverance and the ability to take no for an answer is your one thing. Now, every expert talks 80-20. So do 20%, get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at, delegate the rest. Brian, can you please tell me something you are absolutely not good at in your business?
So the way I frame this is find your superpower. I always try to figure out, even with our employees, where is the thing that you just seem to naturally do very well? It's a combination of talent and sort of analytical ability. And for me, I know I'm very good at getting people really excited about stuff. That's my talent. I know I can get into a room, walk into a meeting, do whatever it is that I do. And then usually at the end, people are really jazzed. Now, the thing that I'm not good at is spending time on financial statements and balance sheets and budgeting, forecasting, things like that. Now, good news is I at least understand the basics and understand how to navigate and understand how to guide the teams through that, especially through all important CEO duties. But what I'm not going to do is go through the entire process and attempt to use my knowledge to complete the entire thing. So we have obviously very, very talented people that do that and spend time on that. The other thing that I don't necessarily excel at is sort of internal operations when it comes to things that are like pretty core when it comes to like HR, internal sort of like step-by-step culture building. So these are things like events to help people bond, to onboarding of new employees. And again, all these things that most of the time in the beginning, you do have to do yourself, but over time, there are people who are very talented, very efficient, have done it before with their hands tied, blindfolded, that can really help you out.
So say take internal operations and HR, like in your move from your job at Digg to becoming an entrepreneur and a CEO and a co-founder, were you previously aware of your lack of skill in internal operations, or did you think you had it and found out too late?
Oh no, I 100% knew that I wasn't getting it. So it was like, it was a rush to find people to do it. And the good news is your investors are really helpful at that. And like the other thing, I should mention at the beginning, one of the core characteristics I think are important for a successful entrepreneur is a insane amount of introspection, the ability to understand immediately where your place is. Sometimes there's the delusional ones. Sometimes that does help a lot, but sometimes you just choose to be delusional. There's a big difference. And you sometimes actually do know deep inside things that don't work, are going to work, things like that. But it's up to you to be so in touch with yourself, right? That you know how to navigate through that. And that's what I've found really helpful, especially in moments where you do need to stand up in front of the company, convince yourself and everyone that, yes, you can do this, which at the end of the day, sometimes in your head, there is a very small chance that you can actually successfully pull it off. But that doesn't matter. People need to know that. And that's part of the charm and the danger and the thrill of being an entrepreneur.
Right. And so as entrepreneurs, as human beings in general, though, like one of the biggest fears we have is being wrong, right? Making a mistake. So you've decided, you've been introspective, you've decided that you need to convince the team to do something and go ahead with, say, a project. You stand up, you encourage everyone, everyone gets pumped. And in, say, depending on what the project is, depending on what the metrics are for success, but either in a week or a month or 3 months, you find out that the metrics coming back are telling you that it's absolutely not going to work. How do you deal with being wrong and sending everybody in the wrong direction?
Yeah, so I think it's not ever trying to come across as an entrepreneur constantly as being right and always being the one who seems to know the way. I think an entrepreneur has the right, sort of the responsibility to position themselves as a constant learner. And as a result, it doesn't matter if you make a mistake necessarily or you made the wrong bet. People around you can understand that we all learn together, especially if it's a new thing that you're progressing through. So especially with what, you know, comes down to projects that you all know what the risks are, that's how you get people to kind of understand your personality in a way where it's not about ever needing to waste time to save face or deal with politics, but rather, all right, that didn't work. Let's find the next thing. And so that's the constant movement as well. That's really important for an entrepreneur. It's like, if you made the decision on this and it didn't work, then guide people to make a decision on the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And that's the thing that people are looking for you to do, is especially in times of extremely trying times where things just seem to not be going the right direction, a lot of people will curl up in a ball and not move. And your responsibility is to move and to just make decisions. That's the executive component of being an entrepreneur that sometimes people don't understand. There are people around you, your investors, your employees, your partners that are relying on you to just make that next call. It doesn't have to be the right one. You don't even need to know that it's going to be the perfect move either. It's just the fact that you're moving is going to help, right? And that's the thing. Motion is important.
Yeah, and being decisive. If there's one thing that's probably the most important, it's decisive and moving in any direction. Any direction,
correct.
Just move.
If you waver, it's going to be very dangerous.
Exactly. And so do you try and empower your team in this same way to just move in a direction, even without me, make a call, make a direction, and go for it? It doesn't have to be correct 100% of the time.
Well, I'll tell you, that's taken me almost 4 years to get done in some way. So even now, it's not exactly perfect. But, there is the type of managers you bring on board that are very aware of what they, what they have the ability to decide on and not necessarily make you the bottleneck all the time. So, for a while, I was the bottleneck and I had to actively work to remove that. And this sometimes comes down to sitting down with people and think, I know you think that I need to make the final call on this all the time, but I actually don't. And please just make the decision and understand that I'll be there to support you. That's the other thing too, is when you are working with your team, your goal is to not direct, it's rather to enable. And that's the type of philosophy that really helps, especially in these types of situations. When they know that you're only there to help them remove obstacles, approve resources, help advise, make decisions with them, it becomes less of a dictatorship in the perspective that everything needs to come into a list that at the end of the day, I check off or I cross off to approve or reject.
Your goal is not to direct, it is to enable. I love that.
Exactly.
Well done. All right, Brian, this has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up on one final question for you. This one might be tricky for you, I'm not sure, because you're pretty young. You've done a lot of stuff, but you're pretty young. So this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. As entrepreneurs, as dreamers, we're always pushing our success into the future. Meaning in 1 month when you hit this metric, you will be successful. In 6 months when you hit this revenue goal, you'll be successful. In a year when you do this, you'll be successful. But of course, right before you get there, you set 5 loftier ones into the future. So you end up living in this gap where we're always waiting for the success that we never quite get to, which is fine. We need the goals, all that stuff. But I would love, Brian, right now, if you could stop, turn around, and look at everything you've accomplished up till today and tell me how you feel about it.
I feel great. And I think this, as a person or as an entrepreneur even, you have this responsibility to understand your mix, which is how much you live in the past, how much you live in the present, and how much you live in the future. Now, every mix is fine. There's no perfect combination. I prefer now to spend a lot more time in the present. And I think it helps you really take what you've learned and apply it and really live in the now. And I think sometimes you do worry a lot as an entrepreneur. You spend a lot of time thinking about the future, but have fun, right? At the end of the day, and my parents have always been like this to me, basically make sure that every single day you're having fun. The moment you're not, that's when you start to ask questions, but try to optimize for that. And that's always going to help you move in the right direction, I believe.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Brian. So we've got to talk about your business in passing. Could you specifically tell the listener where to find out about your business and where to find you?
Sure. So you can find about Keep at keep.com. That's KIIP.com. And either developers or brands can work with us, of course. And so you can see places to direct yourself once you get to the site.
Awesome. And you are brianwong.me? You are.
Yes, that is me. That is me. That is my URL. And if you want to email me as well, it's pretty easy to guess. It's brian@keep.com.
Excellent. Yeah. It's also linked to on the brian.me.
Exactly.
brianwong.me site, but I will link to it in the show notes for everyone as well as to keep.com. So once again, Brian, thank you so much for taking the time today to join me. And please just keep doing what you're doing, man, because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Well, that was a fun conversation. Thank you so much, Brian. I really, really, really enjoyed that. Getting to talk to a fellow Canadian entrepreneur, even though he's totally chosen to live nomadically now, lives in California a lot and all over the world, but he's still a Canadian at heart, even though he's trying to change it because he thinks we're maybe we're too Canadian, I think is the word. Anyways, that was an excellent conversation. I really, really, really enjoyed it. Brian is a young, really, really active, smart, and he's someone that has gone a lot of places already and done a lot of things. And You get that feeling listening to him that he's just getting started. So during this conversation, we talked about a lot of things. So I went back and I listened through the conversation, and there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things that he said. So I listened back and I got that down to 5. Then I got it down to 4, then 3, then 2. The last time I listened to it, there was this one thing that Brian said. One thing that just completely stood out to me. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Now, don't create a higher barrier to entry for yourself just because, right? That's just stupid. But if there's something that you know the solution will take time and might be deceptively simple, you know, these are things that will give you that competitive advantage. But that's not the reason why you're doing it. At the end of the day, you're doing it because you truly believe in the solution you're trying to create, and that everyone that sees it, touches it, feels it, should want it, and should want to play a part in it. And your job is to rally everyone into it. It sounds a lot like a religion. Kind of is, right? And that's really what happens when you're trying to create something very new.
And that's the hack. Brian. Whoa. So this is about the end of about a 4-minute sort of explanation Brian gave, really, really, really good one, of like what you should be working on, what your next project should be, where your focus should be. And I love how he talks about how you want, right before this, he mentioned something, how you want things to be kind of hard to get into. You want that kind of barrier to entry. But then at the very beginning of this, what does he say? He's like, no, don't make it harder than it's supposed to be, just because that would be dumb, of course. But you want these things that other people don't want to create and that are so possibly deceptively simple that everyone that you talk to or you mention it to will understand it and it will make sense. And I absolutely love how he says this. And then not only will that then give you that competitive advantage that you need to succeed in your market and as a business, but he then says that it's really not just that. You actually, it all comes down to it at the end of it, is that you need to absolutely believe. You need to believe in what you're creating. You need to believe that what you are creating is that next best thing and that thing that will solve everyone's problem, which is the thing that your business does. And I absolutely love this. And then he says, and then you have to rally everybody. You have to rally either people in the market or people, if you need capital from people or if you need employees, you need to rally those people around this idea, knowing that this is the idea. This is the one thing that will solve this problem, almost to the point of it being like a religion, which he says it kind of is if you're trying to create something big and make something completely new in a market. And this is just, again, this is like the 40-second tail end of that, but I would recommend going back and listening to that whole sort of 5-minute section because Brian really, really, really lays it out well. Brian's a smart guy and he's taken on a market that the top end of it is just worth billions of dollars, and he's entered it in a really, really unique way with this exact mentality and the way he sort of thought about this. And so I absolutely love it. Thank you so much, Brian. All right. Well, that was a blast. Thank you so much for taking the time to stop by again today. I really, really, really appreciate you doing that. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Stop by, check out Brian's show notes. And yeah, there'll be the links. Everything we've talked about will be in there for you. And you can reach out to Brian if you wish and say hi. And yeah, there's some other cool stuff. You can also obviously grab the book while you're on the site. It's only $3 right now. Amazon bestseller. But it is in the next, I'm going to say 2 weeks. I don't have a definite time, but it's definitely going up in price significantly because selling quite a few of them, which is really awesome. But people are just telling me it should be way more than $3 because it's not just like a greatest hits of the podcast at all. It's a book, an actual book that I wrote that I think it'll help you do the work you want to do in 2016. And so it should be worth more than $3. But for right now, it is $3. Go to Amazon. You can get it on your favorite device. All right. Enough of that. It's been fun. I thank you so much. You can reach out to me at any point if you wish, John@HackTheEntrepreneur. Tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you're up to. Tell me if you have any guests you'd love me to have on the show. Or, I don't know, if you're out walking your dog right now, take a picture. I don't know, send me a picture of some snow or some beach or wherever you happen to be. I'd love to see it. And yeah, I'd love to hear from you. So, it's been fun. Thank you so very much. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.